I have a letter here to read from Boyd Queen. I haven't read it ahead of time, so it may make me a little teary here. To the members of Holly Grove, thanks for all the support you have and are showing to me. I really miss my Sunday school class, church, our pastor, and you. I'm being treated for multiple myeloma. I want to attend church as usual, but I will be wearing a mask for some time since my immune system right now is so low. My family has been and are supporting me through this medical problem. Right now, there is no cure for it. However, I can go into remission, and that's what we are all hoping for. Thanks to each one of you, and may God bless you, Boyd. Couple of more announcements. Next Sunday is Rally Day, where we are kicking off some of our regularly scheduled fall opportunities. You'll notice that in your bulletin, Bible study is starting up not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday again. And something new this fall, we've had a lot of loss and death in our congregation over the past year and a half, so I'm starting a grief support group. The first meeting is going to be Monday afternoon, September 12th, where we're going to gather together and see if there is interest and what it might look like. So if you think that's something that you might be interested in or that you need, please note that. But next Sunday is Rally Day. It's going to be a really fun Sunday, mostly because we're having a potluck after worship. Several folks have teased me about how excited I am, but we haven't had a good old-fashioned potluck since before the pandemic. And let's face it, one of the things we do best as Lutherans is eat. So I'm looking forward to that next Sunday. We have a couple of birthdays this week. Jana Waitman, Amy Kepley, and Todd Conrad. And Bob and Kim have a wedding anniversary this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And one final thing, we have a prayer shawl here. Recently, my temporary secretary, Brittany, has taken all of the prayer shawl names and the recipients and the people who have made it and put it into a spreadsheet on a Google Doc. And I think the first one we have documented was given away maybe in 2006. So we're going on, what, 16 years now? And I should have looked to verify this, but it's something like 600, 700, 800 prayer shawls that have been given away. And it's possible that not all of them have been documented. I mean, we've probably given away more than that. So when I say that this is a remarkable ministry that we have here at Holly Grove, we have reached and touched more people with the prayers and love that we offer through these prayer shawls. And so today this prayer shawl is for former Holly Grove pastor, Pastor Kathy Fanslau, whose mother died. So let us pray. God, we thank you that you hear us when we come to you in prayer, and that even when we don't have words to pray, your Spirit intercedes the tears, the cries, the groans, the moans that we offer, that the Holy Spirit offers those to you in prayer. We lift up Pastor Kathy, who has lost her mother, and we know that no matter what age you are when you lose your mother, it's heartbreaking, and you can feel like an orphan. So we ask that you would be with her, that you would bring her comfort, that you would give her peace, that her mother is now with you in your presence forever. We ask that as she places this prayer shawl on her lap or on her shoulders, that she would feel the weight of our love and our prayers here at Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your path, but have chosen our own way. Instead of putting others before ourselves, we long to take the best seats at the table. When met by those in need, we have too often passed by on the other side. Set us again on the path of life. Save us from ourselves and free us to love our neighbors. Amen. Hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sins, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are free to love as Christ loves. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. A life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and the length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to you, to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Word of God, word of life. The psalm is Psalm 1. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither.
Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked.
They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether they have enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who will see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king was going out to wage war against another king and will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So there are a couple kiddos here, but you're older kiddos, so I'm going to give you the choice. Do you want to come forward for a children's message, or do you? Okay, you don't want to be in front of the people. I get that. So you stay seated. What I was going to talk to the children about is the really hard language in this gospel passage. A few weeks ago, I preached on a very similar passage, which is why I'm choosing not to preach on the gospel again today. But this gospel passage talks about the really high cost of discipleship and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And in Jesus' time and in Jesus' culture, the word hate doesn't mean what it means today. It wasn't an emotional word. It meant to regard. And so what Jesus is saying in this passage isn't that you have to emotionally hate your family. What Jesus is saying is that if you want to follow him, if you want to follow God, you must love the Lord your God more than your family, more than your mom, more than your dad. You must love God more than your husband or your wife or your children or your friends. You must love God more than life itself. You must love God more than your possessions. You must love God more than anything. And that seems like a really hard thing to do because we really love our families and we love our stuff. I spent yesterday part of it decorating for fall, putting out all my pumpkins. I love my pumpkins. But we must love God more than our families, more than the ones that we love the most, more than all that we have, and more than life itself. That's what the gospel lesson is talking about today. But the sermon today is on the passage we read from Deuteronomy and from the Psalm. So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I have been recovering from my foot surgery, especially those first couple of weeks when I had to elevate most of the time, I was re-binge watching some of my favorite shows, including Friends. In one episode, the six friends are sitting around together doing a Mad Lib book. Mad Libs are when there are sentences with blanks in it, and you offer a noun or an adjective or a verb to make up silly sentences. Well, five of the six friends were putting in their names in the blank, regardless of whether it was a noun or a verb or adjective. And Monica, who I'm much more like than I want to admit, told them that it doesn't count as a good Mad Lib if you just put your names in there. Well, the others kind of grumble and roll their eyes and they get up to leave. And she says, but wait, if we follow the rules, we can still have fun and it means something. And they keep walking out. And she says, guys, rules are good. They help control the fun. I get Monica. I get her. But I think that rules get a bad rap, right? This week, as teachers were meeting their students and offering classroom rules to their students, even before the teachers described what the rules were, as soon as they said, let's go over the rules, I bet you that there were countless students who rolled their eyes, who said maybe under their breath or aloud, oh man. Right, just hearing the word rules causes us to have a sort of sinking feeling within us. The word rules, and not just the word rules themselves, it has a negative connotation or association. And there are some words like that in Scripture too, that when we hear them, they have a negative association, or they might cause us to roll our eyes or say, oh man. And some of those words are in the Psalm and the Deuteronomy passage for today. Words like law, commandments, decrees, ordinances. None of these sound that positive, right? When you hear these words, does it spark joy anywhere in you? My guess is no. But let's look a little bit deeper at the context to see if we can figure out why the psalmist thinks that we should delight in God's law, and to see why Moses is telling the Israelites that it is life-giving to obey God's commandments and to observe God's ordinances and decrees. When words like law and commandments and ordinances and decrees are used in Scripture, what they're actually referring to is quite simple. They're referring to God's word revealed in Scripture. So if you break it down, and if it helps you when you're reading the Bible and you see these words to maybe kind of substitute it, when it says law, decree, etc., you just put God's word in there. So it's life-giving to follow God's word. We are called to delight on God's word. And the reality is that both the verses from Deuteronomy and Psalm 1 today remind us that God's word, laws, decrees, commandments, are grace-filled gifts to us. Which sounds a little bit counterintuitive, right? How can a law or a decree or an ordinance or a commandment be grace-filled, or a gift for that matter? Throughout God's Word, God gives instruction to God's people on how God wants them to live their lives. In God's Word, God reveals God's intention for us, for what He wants our relationship with God to look like, and what God wants our relationship with others to look like. Love. It all comes down to love. The laws and commandments and ordinances ultimately show us what it means and what it looks like to love God and love our neighbors. So think of it in this way. God's laws and commandments are the gift of a loving parent protecting their children and helping them thrive. So for those of you who are parents, or for all of us who have been children, it's like a loving parent protecting their children from playing in traffic. It's like when I wanted to get a Vespa because I thought it would be so cute for the pastor to drive a Vespa around Holly Grove. Gyla said, "No, it's not that safe, Anna. We really don't want you cruising up and down Holly Grove Road on a Vespa." Parents don't give these rules and these instructions and say, "Don't go play in the traffic," because they're trying to ruin their children's fun. They're trying to protect their children from harm, and sometimes even from death. So yes, God's laws and commandments may make us roll our eyes and say, "Oh man," because the truth is that they can feel hard and heavy, and it might seem like they are ruining our fun. But what if God's laws and commandments aren't a punishment or a curse, but a gift? And what would it mean for us to think about the law not as what we don't do or can't do, but what we are invited by God to do? In our reading from Deuteronomy this morning, Moses lays before the people of Israel death and adversity, but also life and prosperity. He knows that even though they've spent 40 years in the wilderness school trying to learn God's ways and learn about who God is, that even though they've spent these 40 years, that they are still going to have a hard time being faithful to God and following God's commandments. But even though he knows it's going to be hard, he still pleads with them to choose life. Because the truth is that in God's law and in God's commandments, the gift of life, true life, eternal life, is found. In the law, through the lens of grace, we have been given a description of the life that God intends for us, a life spent loving God and loving others with all of who we are and all that we have. So in God's word, in God's laws and commandments and decrees, God gives us both the gift of law and the gift of grace. And these gifts call us to go beyond just obeying them, but choosing life and living into them. And the way that we live into the gift of the law is by taking responsibility. It's not in checking off boxes, but in checking on our neighbors. It's not by bearing the burden of the law, but by bearing the burdens of our neighbors. And it's not for the purpose of saving ourselves a seat in heaven. It's for serving the least and the lost. Because the gift of the law is the gift of Christ, God's word made flesh, who fulfills the law completely and perfectly. God's word is most fully revealed to us in Jesus Christ, God's word who took on flesh. And Jesus is love. Jesus is God's will. Jesus is God's hope for humankind lived out. Jesus is God's love in human form. And God's word made flesh reveals to us most fully who God is and who God desires and intends for us to be. Jesus lives out God's love and God's will and the law perfectly. But us, yeah, we're not so perfect, are we? We're much more like those Israelites because we know it's not always easy to follow God and to be faithful to God and to follow and obey God's laws and commandments. But brothers and sisters, God does not call us or even demand perfection of us. God calls us to faithfulness. And God calls us to choose life, to choose the life that God gives in the law and the life that God gives in Christ. Brothers and sisters, may we choose to receive the gift of grace that God gives us in God's law, in God's commandments, in God's decrees and ordinances. And may we faithfully live it. Amen.
In hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. We pray for the church around the world and for the missions of gospel. Refresh the hearts of your people, deepen our understanding of every good thing we share, and strengthen our partnerships in faith. God, in your mercy, for the well-being of the earth and all its creatures, for trees and forests, for all that will yield fruit this season, and for streams and other bodies of water, God, in your mercy, for the nations and those in authority, for the elected leaders of our town, states, and country, and for international organizations. Grant wisdom to those who govern and rise up citizens who make decisions in the best interest of their neighbors. God, in your mercy, for all in need, for those who suffer from disease, who struggle with homelessness or food insecurity, for those whose family's life is difficult, and for all in this community who need your care, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, Joe, Boyd, Gila, Chip, Mike, and our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those who we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy, for this community of faith, for all our labors begun, continued, and ended in you, that they glorify your holy name. Bless your people with the strength to live into their many vocations for the sake of the world. God, in your mercy, we give thanks for the saints who now rest from their labors. Give us faith, like them, to love you with all our hearts. And by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. God, in your mercy,
into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you.
You called us beloved children and welcome us to your table. Receive our lives and the gifts we offer. Abide with us and send us in service to a suffering world for the sake of your beloved child, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lord's table, and Jesus is the host. We are Christ's guests. Jesus welcomes everyone to come, to eat, to be nourished, to be fed and forgiven. Visitors and children are welcome to receive communion. And all who do not receive communion are welcomed forward to receive a blessing. Just cross your arms over your chest like this. We have gluten-free wafers available, and there is grape juice in the middle of each tray. In the presence of Christ, there is fullness of joy. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Love your neighbor.